What you want? We've got a mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. It's been a while. We've had some news. We're back. MWCConnection.com is the website. If you found us without reading that ever, congratulations, because that took a lot of work to do so. Jeremy Moss here hanging out with Matt Kennerly tonight to talk some off-season stuff, because that's what we do. It's May 8th, Mother's Day, so yeah, we're doing it tonight.
Yeah, talking about stuff is what I do best.
And write stuff too, because you are a proficient writer.
Apparently.
Well, people like you, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yes. This is our second take here, so we're kind of probably sounding a little not whatever, something going on. But some news. Let's get to the news. We'll get right to it. Announcement for the show. As I jumped, I gave this info to Matt right before it came on. He's joining the show all the time with me and Chris Hondris.
Yes. So that is something that is happening.
It'll happen. So, obviously, that's great. He joins us all the time. But me and Chris felt, hey, a third person who knows as much football, or if not more than us, and there's only so – we can't watch every game. So, to be honest, sometimes me and Chris look at the box score, read some recaps, and take our opinion from there every now and then. So, another set of eyes and probably a different game. It's not going to hurt.
Meanwhile, I watched multiple Wyoming games last year.
Oh, man. Not sure. Brian Hill's amazing, so.
That's my dedication to the craft right there, and I hope people appreciate that.
Exactly. Watching those, 10 Eastern kick times? Excellent.
Exactly.
Excellent, and they're all at the same time. So let's get going here. What we're going to talk about tonight is the big E word, expansion, which is is that your favorite time of the year in May? On May, middle first week of May.
Well, I mean, I said it in the first take, so I guess I'll say it again. Like, I like expansion talk, and I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that as a former enthusiast for the NCAA football series, RIP, you know, they always had the option where you could create your own conferences besides the ones that just existed. So I always like to kind of tinker with that to see what would happen in the long run. And with this recent news about Wichita State wanting to join the conference, not only for basketball and baseball, but also to revive their football program after a 30-year absence, like that, I didn't read too much into it at first, but I was very intrigued by the initial report.
It is interesting. Part of my other job, I have to do this stuff because it's a, don't throw stuff at me, but it's about BYU radio. So I had to look into anything the Big 12 says. Any little crumb has to be out there. And so I look into that, and you pass me along to Wichita State. And I'm like, wait a minute. Really? Because this isn't new. Yeah. This isn't new. This has been around a little bit, but not too much. But if there's interest, but right now Craig Thompson's like, he's basically just throwing it to the side, says, call me when you have a football team.
Yeah, more or less, right?
So I wrote an article on this about the initial news, and we talked about this in the last take one. I'll say it again. Like we said, we never want to say never, but San Diego State, you're not going to the Big 12. Sorry. Less statistically improbable.
Yeah. Like I said, you never want to say never or always, because rhetorically speaking, that's unsound.
Hey, they were in the Big East for about 2 months. Remember
that. That's also true. And I mean, this is no disrespect to San Diego State, but it's just, you know, if you're speaking geography wise and, you know, yes, they've had some recent success on the football field, but they haven't had, you know, the kind of history of success that has allowed other teams to make the jump from one conference to another.
And it's not all wins, because we know Rutgers is in the Big Ten with Maryland, because they're in the larger markets and they can make more money from the Big Ten network for it being on a lower tier.
Well, don't you know New York City is a college football town?
It's Rutgers town. Hey, I lived in near New York City for years and no one cared. Literally, nobody cared. The guys who cared, let's see, me being from Texas, the two or three guys from Illinois, and the dude from Florida on the water polo team at Iona College. They're always wondering, you don't go to University of Texas. You don't go to Northwestern. You don't go to Illinois. Why do you care about this college football team? And they didn't get it. So, and we're like, well, it's college football. Come on. He was a whatever surfer dude from Southern California, but still, nobody cares. But it's money. And if the Big 12 had a network, Aztecs would be on some list. But any list you see, this is for any fan base, not towards San Diego State. They're just our example. I get it from BYU fans. We see it from Colorado State fans. I've seen it from whatever fans.
Well, I've seen it in Fresno State fans, too, who think they're going to join the Pac-12 someday. And I'm like, well, if that someday is like 2048, then maybe.
Yeah. The thing is, it's if media personality A does not list your team on list X, they know nothing and they're biased against team Z. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Insert that anywhere, because I have to follow BYU stuff all the time. But my example there is like, they're like, first off, they think the local media is hacks because you're in Salt Lake City. It's like, well, maybe people like it there. And they think they're mediocre. But then if you see Dennis Dodd, who is flipping a little bit, or Stuart Mandel or Bruce Feldman or Jake Trotter or Chuck Carlton or Tim Brando, they know nothing because BYU's not in their top list. Here's the thing. Every team that's considered, if there's a perfect team, it would be done by now. Every team has pluses and minuses. And Aztecs, yes, you're better than Tulane in football. You're better than Central Florida. You're better than Memphis in football. For the most part, Memphis. They're come on strong, kind of like Aztecs. But you're not the top 10 list for a reason. Main reason, the Big 12 were dummies and got West Virginia, not Louisville, when they had the chance. So one team's going to be Eastern no matter what.
I hesitate to say no matter what.
Well, but just from what we've seen, the only Western team is BYU.
Yeah, and I mean,
a little CSU, but really.
I mean, if I were the one in charge, I would probably reach out to BYU, but I think I can understand the arguments why they haven't yet.
Yeah, because if there's a team, they would be settled, but there's not a team.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, nothing prevents anybody from doing anything weird, like, say, putting Navy in the West for recruiting reasons. You know what I mean? Even though they play in Annapolis in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nothing that the Big 12 does or doesn't do is going to surprise me at this point, because we all know what it's about. It's about getting eyeballs on television. It's about making money. And that's really all it comes down to, is who do they think is going to make them the most money?
Yeah, the closest team is BYU, because if it was about wins and losses, it would be BYU and Boise State in a heartbeat for the Big 12. Right?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Cincinnati, they're above average. They've been to Sugar Bowl with Brian Kelly. But since 2000, those are the two teams for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not about money. It's about if they can get it. Or it is about money. Excuse me. They want a TV conference deal. Like Boise has a smallish type stadium. They don't have a large market. So it's all that type of stuff. But let's get back to our conference here. We don't need to talk about the Big 12. Wichita State. Let's go back to that because that's exciting, I think.
I think so, too. Let's talk about that more.
Here's a couple of things that people need to realize that don't get it. And if you remember, I tried to find this audio somewhere, but it was 6 years ago. Couldn't find it. But there are some roundtable on ESPN when the big news from Chip Brown saying Texas is the Pac-10. Like, holy crap, what's going on? And then you had teams like Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech going to be left out. Are they going to join the Mountain West? Are they going to go to the Big East? Are they going to make a new conference, keep the Big 12 name, and add the best from who is out there? Mm-hmm. And Andy Katz, who's a respected basketball guy, knows ins and out, knows everybody. I don't think he's playing a part when he said this. He's like, I forget. It may have been some other college football guy from ESPN, either current or former. Katz is saying, well, what about Kansas? They top program, top five basketball program. Still out Flog Allen every week. Go to the Final Four. They've been national champion. They've been basketball and zero in realignments. And people don't seem to get that, which is Wichita State. Because, like, as we know, Wichita State with Greg Marshall, Final Fours, win 30-plus wins a year. Mm-hmm. They've beaten great teams in the tournament. They've been to the tournament. They were undefeated for so long. Bringing them in brings literally nothing to the conference.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. And I mean, the other thing you have to keep in mind too, which I don't think any of the articles have explicitly stated, is like this isn't a process that happens overnight. You know, if Wichita State's joining the conference, it's not like they're joining it next year. They're going to have to raise the revenue and join the conference like 4 or 5 years from now.
Correct.
And there's a lot of, you know, there's always a lot of moving plates when it comes to conference realignment, not just like kind of the Big 12. But, you know, if the Big 12, you know, picks up a team or two, then what does the American do? You know, does the American look more attractive to a team like Wichita State? You know, and if the American, you know, reaches down into Conference USA for a couple more teams, you know, then what does Conference USA do and things like that? So, you know, if Wichita State's joining football, they're not going to do it probably until the beginning of the next decade.
Yeah, because if you told me to look at the Charlotte model, it took Charlotte 5 years to get from announcement to first game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the difference between, like, you know, Wichita State's feasibility in rebuilding a football program or reviving it, rather, and a team like, you know, if you look at a place like Charlotte or a place like Old Dominion or was it Georgia State or Georgia Southern that built theirs from the ground up?
I'm not sure. I don't recall. I think Georgia State, I'm going to say.
Unless there's South Alabama in there. I mean, you were talking about areas that are way more fertile for like building an actual team, way, you know, team areas with more talent than a place like Wichita State. You know, it's easy to bring, you know, 12 basketball players together to have a competitive and nationally recognized team than it would be to get 85 guys to come to Wichita to play football. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, basketball, handful of players get you there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at the article that Mid-Major Madness put up for, you know, their take on this whole realignment thing. And then you're talking about the possibility of having three football programs in Kansas. And I mean, they could barely put like one team together most years. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Their media market's only 69th. It's not terrible. It's better than Hawaii. But it's just tough because it's $50 million.
Yeah.
And let's back up because we're getting a bit too far ahead in football. But basketball, people are like, well, bring them out. They'll bring revenue. There's not going to be a change in revenue currently. If they come in, people share less. And yeah, the earliest, like you said, would be 2020, I think, is when they redo a deal. Then bringing them in, I'm more open to basketball, like non-football, if football never materializes or takes longer. But even then, how much money are we talking about? Yeah, you get some more games, get more inventory because they will have 12 teams, but how much money is it really giving per team out there to bring in Wichita State?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, Wichita State is not like a premier team in the same way that, you know, the casual fans are more familiar with a team like North Carolina or Duke. And we'll sit down to watch a North Carolina or a Duke game in a way that they will not sit down to watch Wichita State game, no matter what conference they're in.
Yeah, there's that too. And it's with what they can bring in, like, plus you're in the state of Kansas. You're going to watch Kansas more than Wichita State, obviously. They're a little bit better branding, but they're still, like I said, they're still not a team. I'm not going to sit down and watch them. Missouri Valley is a pretty good league. I'm not going to watch Wichita State and who else is in that league? Southern Illinois or something. Those are two pretty good teams in the conference, but it's probably streaming only, so feed, it's gotten better, but still not the best. It's just the bringing them in mid-cycle is not going to happen. Bringing them after, if it does improve, go for it, but there's no guarantee. Well, because look at Conference USA. While their league has changed so much, losing teams like Houston, losing all sorts of teams to the American Conference, their TV deal is $1 million for the conference per year. Not per team, for the conference. The Mountain West itself makes about each team ballpark at least $2 million a year per team.
Yeah, that's not too bad, I guess.
I mean, $1 million for the conference, you're getting $100,000 a year for your TV deal, radio deal, or whatever multimedia rights deal is included. That's nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you think of it that way, though, that's the kind of thing that makes you think you can't blame them for wanting to move up a weight level, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, too. That's why South Alabama, Georgia State, Texas State, UTSA moved up. Charlotte's different because they were expected to be FCS but got the call. There's a reason James Madison is looking at FBS status, because even if they're in the lowest of lowest in the Sun Belt conferences, they're still going to make more money than they are being FCS.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want, even if it's a tiny bit of money, great, they'll get it. And then like, well, we're good. We'll see how it works. So one other thing about the money thing, we saw the Big Ten deal. They're getting for half of the rights, $500 million for half of the rights. And part of it, I'm thinking now, it's like, oh, maybe it's not going to affect these lower conferences. But then again, they're stockpiling money for that conference instead. So whatever ESPN or CBS was going to pay toward bad example, because Fox has the rights for half of them, but people are going to shed where people don't care toward the more premium content.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, even though $6 million may not be a lot, but if it's people are leaving ESPN, people are going to Sling TV, people are going to Know TV, they're going taking your neighbor's password to watch TV, going to PlayStation View, that type of stuff. It's like, so they got to do what they can. But let's get to the topic where who's going to join these teams. So we go through our kind of scenarios of what the best fit would be.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to start first? Do you want to?
Why don't you go ahead and start first? Like, how do we want to start this conversation?
It's a pretty big conversation. Hey, let's start with our perfect conference. So a couple things. Let's start with a simple example as we're going through. We could you can have a 13 football conference and a 12 team basketball conference, because the MAC has shown you can do 13 league conference. And this is assuming Wichita State comes in and asks it at the end of the day, they've joined football, we're good to go.
Yeah.
It's weird because the 7-division team, you have to play all 6 teams, you never play the team from the West, and Wichita State's by itself. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I should look this up, but San Diego to Honolulu, San Diego to Wichita, is that about the similar distance almost?
I would assume that Wichita is probably a little bit closer than Honolulu, just because Honolulu is like, 3,000 miles? I think San Diego to pretty much anywhere else in the conference is going to be closer.
But it's just trying to think, like, it's still a big distance and goes closer, but we could leave it at that. But I don't like that setup because it's 13 teams, sucks. The other team we could bring up, like, BYU is not going to come back unless something drastically happens. They're not coming back for football, so we can kind of I put them in there a little bit, but they're not really an option for football.
Yeah.
Next best choice would probably be have. So it's like, what do we do here? That's like, okay, you could bring in the Mexico State. No, leave it. So I don't think that's the best option, because who knows what Wichita State will be. And I'm going off what I wrote here. Like the 14th member, I feel like UTEP, but again, basketball could be an odd number. Does it bother you that much if there would be 14 basketball teams or 13 basketball teams, really? Is that really?
No, it wouldn't make much of a difference at all.
So if we go that route, who would you put in order of teams? Like, so if we do that and we go to 14 football and whatever basketball, just because, who would be your because BYU's not going to come back. What would be your first choice to come in?
I think the most logical choice would probably be someplace like UTEP, because, they're obviously a geographical rival to a school like New Mexico. And yeah. The fact that, their team has had some successes in the past, it's not, maybe they play in they're in a San Diego State type situation where they're playing in a stadium where it's too big for, their fan base's interest.
A little bit.
But it's still a team that I think could be a viable option because they've shown that they could be competitive in the sports that matter in the past.
And they were part of two. They were with half these teams anyways. The reason they weren't invited to Mountain West because they're in probation and NCAA violations and stuff. So that's how it was UNLV over UTEP to join the original Mountain West back in 98. But there's all times to whack. Like anytime you went to New Mexico UTEP, you're hoping to win one of those games because in basketball, because they're so difficult. I like UTEP. I agree there. My number three was North Dakota State.
Yeah, I was looking at what Mid-Major Madness had to say about that. No, actually, I correct that. It was on Underdog Dynasty when they were talking about Idaho's kind of desperate reports before they decided to go back down to FCS. And they were talking about this, oh, by the way, North Dakota State wants to join the Missouri Valley Conference. Because I think right now they play all of their sports besides football in the Missouri Valley Conference, but they want to join as like full members. So I'm not sure that, the Bison, for as successful as they've been, are kind of the option that we're looking for, not only because it's kind of remote, like a Wyoming per se. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have the facilities that really stack up on an FBS level either.
Well, that's true as well. I was just thinking more, they've been successful. They would be reasonably close to Wichita and help out in that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the other option, and I don't know if you mentioned it in your... I mean, you mentioned half of what I was going to say next, because you mentioned fifth on your list, you put Texas State / Texas San Antonio. And, mm-hmm. I think both of those teams would be interesting adds. Now, because I'm trying to think like a commissioner, you're getting into markets that have market interest in football. Texas is a football state.
Yeah, Matt, real quick, that's why TCU got the invite well before Boise did to the Mountain West.
But the one team that I would add to that mix is North Texas.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why, and I think it was mentioned elsewhere, is, that you're talking about the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. And if conferences are interested in grabbing market share, it's harder to get much bigger than Dallas. You know what I mean? And, sure. They've been down the last couple of years, but it's a team that's, had success in the past when they were back in the Sun Belt. And they have a commitment to like reloading and being a successful kind of model program in the Conference USA. So I think if we're thinking, 4 or 5 years down the line, if that's a team that continues to rise within that conference, they should definitely be on that list as well.
That makes sense. I put them together because it's kind of like a package deal, I would think. But in our scenario here, 14, it's like you got to take one. So it makes sense because North Texas, yeah, they won like 4 or 5 conference titles in a row in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, and then I like the other one that you mentioned also, Tulsa, I think would be a really interesting one.
Yeah, they score points. I made the error, they're actually in America. Now I get this confused at Conference USA where they're at for decades or however long that league's been around. Tulsa makes sense. They're in the middle. They're reasonably close to Wichita if that were to be the add. Basketball, they're probably similar to Colorado State almost, I would say.
Yeah, and, I mean the hardest part of that argument though is like dependent on what happens in a place like the Big 12, because like if the Big 12 takes two teams from the American, does a team like Tulsa stay and see if the conference reloads with two more teams, or do they decide to jump ship to the Mountain West as well? Because if we're thinking about it like the status quo, you know, 2 years ago, the Mountain West might have been the better conference, but last year, the American was clearly the best conference. And, you know, I know that Tulsa, I believe, like their attendance figures, their revenue kind of lags a little bit behind a lot of the other teams in the conference. So, you know, at best, you might be looking at a lateral move if nothing else changes across the college football landscape.
And that's hard to predict. That's the thing. It's like people are like, why isn't Houston in there? I'm like, well, why would Houston come to the Mountain West? They're already So it's like, but like you said, if like I know what you're, I probably know where you're going. Big 12 takes Team A and Team B from American Conference USA combo, whatever. Is the American still better at 10 teams than Tulsa and Houston joining the Mountain West?
So here's the question I have for you. Of the 12 teams in the Mountain West right now, how many of them do you think are still in the conference 5 years from now?
Okay, let me preface. Does this not mean dropping down or leaving independent like Hawaii might do, I think?
You can interpret it any way you want.
These 12 teams will still be in the conference in 5 years. Every single one of them.
Interesting. Because to me, I don't understand why Boise State hasn't been able to make the jump yet. And yeah, I understand that they're kind of isolated, but you know, Iowa State's in the Big 12 too. And they play in the middle of nowhere. So
stupid grandfathered in. That's why. That's why Kansas State, Iowa State, when Baylor was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I forget.
Stupid reason.
I forget who had the poll up the other day, but somebody, I think it might have been somebody from Fox Sports, but they were like, if these were the options, and it was like pairs of
Jake
teams.
Jake Trotter from ESPN.com.
And like one of them was like BYU and Colorado State, right? And I forget what the options were, but like if I were Bob Bowlesby, like I would call Boise State and I would call BYU and I'd settle it. That would be it.
Well, they want to placate West Virginia when they made a stupid move. It's weird because I'll see tweets out there, messages from guys like Trotter or whoever, Tim Brando or Chuck Carlton from the Dallas Morning News saying they get this information. It's not necessarily about the money. They want more than that, or they want competitiveness. But then you hear UConn. It's like, really, UConn? Come on.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of a shock that Boise State's still in the Mountain West, if you think about it that way.
True, but then you'll see another message from somebody else saying it is about money. The Big 12 just doesn't know what to do. Because like I said, I think I said it already, maybe it could have been pre-recording first 5 minutes. If there was a perfect team, they would take the team. But any team, like, if you listen, everybody should listen to the Audible, the one about this same topic, Big 12 with Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman. They go through everything. They say, like, Central Florida just because they're in the Orlando market. But then again, new head coach, they went 0-12 last year. BYU is great because the win, they have the stadium size, 65,000 plus seats. They're great for third-tier rights with their BYU TV network, which will help the conference for those lower games or even like baseball and basketball games at times. But then they don't play on Sunday for certain sports. There's issues, and this is serious issues about the honor code. And you probably heard about it. Most people have. It's been picked up everywhere about, not that we'll get into this, but sexual assault toward female athletes still getting in trouble with honor code. They can't register for classes because they're being investigated where, yeah, they may have done some LSD or drink a little bit. They'll take that into consideration. You broke the rules there that may have led to something worse happening, which, like, come on, really? And so they're concerned about a public image issue, even though there's something in Baylor about a sexual assault that may or may not have been covered up. And so that's, people want a good image. And even though it's not even sports related, if this is happening where something happens to a female student there, yeah, she may have done something against the rules. But if something worse happens from a dude, it's like, come on, why should she be in trouble? And that's an issue. And so there's a lot of things that go into, like, if you look at UConn, they're terrible. Well, they're not very good at football. they don't sell at their stadium. But
well, don't let Daniel Connolly let you hear you say that.
Daniel, sorry, Daniel, but you know they're not. Okay,
decent. They're decent at football.
And they improved more than people thought. Bob Diaco there improved quite a bit. They're not elite football. That's a better term to put at it.
Yeah,
Tulane's that's in New Orleans. Like, whatever. You're in New Orleans. Great. But come on. They have – it's whatever. It's just there's – you can poke holes in every situation, but it's just – you're right. Like, if they wanted winners, Boise and BYU would be there. Say, sorry, West Virginia. Whatever. It's – we screwed up because – I would be fine Cincy BYU. That would be make sense as well. But back to your question, in 5 years, I think it'll be every team in the conference plus some, I think.
Interesting. Because, I mean, I would think that if it's the same 12 teams in the conference, then, you know, if the Mountain West hasn't really been affected all that much by conference expansion other than, like, adding teams when the WAC collapsed – then I think it's more likely that they're not going to add any teams at all.
It's a good point because the Pac-12 odds are them adding anybody is very slim.
I mean, if anything, like, you know, if, you know, the Big 12 raids the American raids Conference USA, and then maybe, you know, Conference USA raids the Sun Belt, and then the Sun Belt gets a couple of teams from, you know, the FBS, like a James Madison or an Eastern Kentucky or something like that. None of that is likely to affect the Mountain West.
Correct. I would think the way it would affect the Mountain West is if, because you could have 10 things, you could have 10 teams and still have a conference title game. So the American doesn't necessarily have to expand if they lose even one team. If Cincinnati goes, they're fine. They'd probably want to stay at 12 because it's nicer and easier to work with. But if they lose two teams, let's just say it is Cincy and UConn, the Big 12, they could stay at 10 teams and be fine with it. Then that's where the Mountain West could come in and say, hey, Houston, hey, Tulsa, come with us and go to 14 teams or something. That's a way they could be not necessarily proactive, but it's the exact same thing in the WAC. Utah State found out about BYU's secret handshake deal with the, quote, proposal to be an affiliate member with the WAC. Craig Thompson found about it. Okay, we're getting Utah State. We're taking Nevada. We're taking Fresno. We're taking Hawaii. Screw you, BYU. Do something else. That's almost the same situation that could happen. It's not going to be as behind closed doors or not as it's like, oh, crap, this has came out of nowhere. But I think Houston would have a think about it really good. Assuming they could stay close to their level where they're at, there might be they'd have a tough choice to make. Like, we could still dominate a 10-team league. Still have Navy, Houston's good, Tulsa, got a few other teams that are solid. But maybe go to the Mountain West and they could be – I don't know how much more money would be there. Depends how this works out. But that's where I think the Mountain West could be proactive. But you're right. They don't have to do much of anything because nothing really affects them all that much unless they lose a team, which seems highly unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right. I mean, it's fun to think about and it's fun to talk about.
Exactly.
But like, you know, it's boring to say that nothing is going to happen.
Well, when I mean nothing, you asked the question, you said are the current teams. You didn't ask about outsider teams because we can move on to the next step of this equation.
Okay.
Because I think let's do two things here. We'll keep it as it is plus some. I went to, I don't want to, the 16 team league, I'm like, that could work, but. If I did put in BYU for one of those, that's not going to happen. Tell me what you think of this. There's two scenarios I put together for a 16-team league. In the West, write this down, folks, or check out the article. I'll put a link to it in the post here or something when you're listening to go over. But in the West, you have new teams. You have Texas State in the Mountain Division, UTEP, UTSA. Oh, wait, let's get rid of the BYU one. Hold on, sorry. Let's go to the more realistic one. Well, I don't know what's more – I don't know what's realistic or not. Nothing is realistic, but let's go with this one. Because, like I said, BYU, they're not coming back. North Dakota State, Wichita State, UTSA, Texas State are added. How do you feel about those four additions plus 12?
Well, I mean, adding North Dakota State would be fun. Wichita State, of course, is a total unknown because you don't know how they're going to handle the jump to the FBS. you know, UTSA's had, you know, some success. They've, you know, been pretty, they've been regarded as a pretty tough team in Conference USA. Texas State, I guess I'm a little less sold on as a potential addition. But, I mean, if you think about it overall, like 16-team Mountain West, I just, like, there's something about 16-team conferences that is aesthetically pleasing to me personally as a fan. Like, I kind of miss the old whack sometimes when they had the 16 teams. Yeah.
Well, that was also done with the stupid quadrant thing, which really screwed things up.
Yeah.
That could work. There's a few other teams you could put in there, but I was kind of going with, because I didn't want to go too off the rails when writing this, because there's a million scenarios. I kind of went with, like, you brought something here. Well, status quo, that makes sense, but if Big 12 takes team A and B from this conference, then that conference is vulnerable, and then, like, the domino effect. So I'm kind of with, like, linear type of situation where everything else has little to no effect. So we can do a 16-team league. My other one, I like this one a lot. Gonzaga, yes, bring them in. Because I think – hear me out. Come on, hear me out.
Okay, all right. I'm listening.
Here's where I think – I don't think this is too far-fetched. I honestly – this could be – because the West Coast Conference – was kind of down this year, one team in. They're even with – when they brought BYU in, they figured, great, St. Mary's has gotten better. We'll have three teams in nearly every year, two on a down year. Well, them and the Mountain West were not the greatest, so they got one team in. So the Mountain West is not going to get BYU or Gonzaga or St. Mary's on their own. There needs to be a combination of all of them going at once. And so that's where I put, if you bring in Wichita State, that's a great, better, helps the conference overall. If you can get BYU and Gonzaga to agree to come, that would make sense and they'd both come. They just won't come one without the other.
That would be a very interesting, you know, basketball conference, to say the least. I mean, I know St. Mary's doesn't do football by any, you know, and I don't think Gonzaga does either, do they?
No, they said baseball. But in my scenario here, I went with BYU, Gonzaga, Wichita State. But I figured if you can get two of those three, maybe even remove Wichita State and St. Mary's. I mean, one of the either or for one of those two. Because that, you know what I mean, just put that as a combo pack like I did earlier to UTSA, Texas State. But if you have BYU, Gonzaga, Wichita State, UNLV, San Diego State, New Mexico gets back, Boise's on the rise. If Utah State get their act together, Fresno, they got that pretty big recruit from Australia. Rodney Terry's doing a pretty good job. If somebody say, what would you put the most likely scenario on? I would probably put this in my top two most likely scenarios to add a pair of basketball only schools.
Or I would three. I put that in my top two most fun scenarios. That's for sure.
But I mean, if they wait till 2020, bring in these three schools. I know the revenue is not going to be huge, but you can see six teams making the NCAA tournament on any given year. BYU is always close to always in. Gonzaga has been in forever. Same with Wichita State. San Diego State's a staple. Assuming New Mexico and UNLV get back up. And look at Eric Musselman at Nevada.
That's true.
I just think that's a kind of a clean version. It would take multiple West Coast Conference teams leaving at once.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
All right, let's go to I think this is the last scenario. Hawaii gets the boot.
Which I don't think is going to happen, but yeah, let's go with that.
Again, this is not to disparage Hawaii in any means. They are a program that can go independent if they want to. Because for people who don't know, and I kind of stumbled upon this, even though they've been in the league for a couple of years, a few years ago, they have their own TV deal within the conference. Mm-hmm. They don't get any bonus money structure, and they pay some subsidies for teams to go out there. So they're not. That's why most of all their games are on Time Warner Oceanic. They're basically part of the Mountain West just for a scheduling agreement. They don't get any money. I don't think they get any money from the conference at all, really. Mm-hmm. Especially that's a TV money. So right there, if they go by themselves, they're fine. Teams want, what I added in there, have them play six Mountain West teams again, like Notre Dame does with the ACC. They play five games within that conference. Have them play three from the Mountain, three from the West, and rotate. that fills out half their schedule. Hawaii can play 13 games a year if they want. They rarely take advantage of it, though. But teams want to go to Hawaii. If you're on probation, okay, they'll go to Hawaii for a bowl game essentially in December. You want recruits to open up?
If you want an easy win, you go to Hawaii.
That as well. Exactly. Yeah. but I'm saying is people want to go to Hawaii to play. USC did a home-and-home with Hawaii. Teams will do two-for-ones or home-and-homes. So they could do – they probably could have some near 7 or 8 home games on a 13-game schedule and be just fine and not have to sell out to play at Florida for some reason, play on the East Coast for some reason. Heck, don't even have to go to Texas. They could – they probably should every now and then, but I think they have the infrastructure just because of the location, the extra game, the benefit teams get by playing at Hawaii to go independent and thrive, assuming they're – basically a half member for the Mountain West. I think that actually does make some sense if you think about it, from what they're getting from the conference now to what they could possibly get more if they were to go off by on their own.
When was the last time Hawaii was independent, though? Do you have any idea?
I don't think they're ever independent, outside maybe pre-WAC.
Yeah, I mean, I could look into that if you want to keep talking for just a minute, because I'm wondering if they've ever had the chance to do that before.
I know Utah State did it. It was terrible. I know New Mexico State did it, going to do it again. Idaho's tribe, not going to happen. I just think it's
okay. Yeah, right, so here we go. Yeah, the last time Hawaii was independent was 1978 when they went 6-5 under Dick Tomey, actually.
Hey, there you go.
So, I mean, this on Sports Reference only goes back to 1971, but – you know, they were independent, it looks like, just before they joined the WAC in 79. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess it's not impossible, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it would be necessarily appealing to them to go and do it willingly again.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If they play 6 Mountain West teams, that makes scheduling much more easier than scheduling 12 teams every year.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then they would give them the flexibility to, like, what, schedule, you know, 1 or 2 FCS teams if they aren't feeling, like, pressure to try to get back to a Super Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, get back to a bowl game, play like they did when they played Jackson State or whoever. But, yeah, play like a Cal Poly every year. They could play – because here's the thing. Here's how the schedule should work out for them if you think about it. They play half the Mountain West. They play an FCS team every year that's 7. You're going to be able to bring over, say, you could probably play 2 Pac-12 teams a year. I don't think that's unrealistic. That's 9. Probably play somebody from the MAC every year. It'll take a little bit more, but I think it's possible from if they do 13 games and their schedule will be better a little bit. I don't think they should overload playing. Like, this schedule's ridiculous this year. Go to Australia to play Cal, go to Arizona, go to Michigan, and 1 home game in the first month. But I think it's no reason they can't play Arizona every year, Arizona State, Washington, play a couple Pac-12 teams, mix in Texas Tech, mix in Tulsa.
BYU. I just think,
definitely. If they're both independent, play BYU. They're on the schedule. Play Army sucks because it's East Coast, but New Mexico State, if they're independent, play New Mexico State every year. That's 8 games. That's 9 games right there. If you have 6 Mountain West, FCS, BYU, New Mexico State every year. That's 9 games. You schedule technically 3 or 4 games. You'll get a Pac-12 team or two to come in or to play on the road. Texas Tech, something like that.
Yeah, I guess I would still think that, you know, the onus would be on them to travel to, you know, basically what they call, what, body bag games to get $1 million to get pummeled by, like, Ohio State or something like that.
Well, but if you're already playing six mm-hmm. Well, I guess.
I was going to say.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think that, you know, instead of playing, like, 1 of those games every year, you know, you might be looking at playing, like, 3 of those games every year because it seems like it would be less likely for power conference teams to schedule, you know, more than, like, 2-for-1s maybe, or, like, to schedule, like, a one-off each year to, like, go to, you know, Texas and get beat up or something like that, just to be able to make ends meet.
But I'm thinking if they already have their own TV money, they play half the Mountain West, half their schedule. Like I said before, they have 90 games filled in. That's not more difficult than right now. Because New Mexico State win a bowl game. BYU would be tough, but it won't be like a crushing game talent-wise, really, more often than not. And they play Boise, Utah State, you know, I mean, those teams we're familiar with. I'm thinking if you're doing three games a year, you're not going to play three road games, Ohio State, Texas, and LSU, all on the road either. It's just a thing. I just think it's more plausible than people give credit for. If you look at it, especially if there's a scheduling agreement, it makes some sense compared to, sorry, you're on your own, play 12 teams, 12 games every year.
Yeah.
So, but if we do remove Hawaii, kind of going forward, the league would be at 11 teams, and simple, I guess, Wichita State is who I plugged in on that one because I was tired probably and just did it.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd probably, if it was one team, UTEP would be the team because UTEP would make it 12 in football and 12 in basketball.
And I think I would be okay with that.
So, yeah, have we exhausted every scenario almost?
Well, you know, there's always Bill Connolly's relegation model. Did you take a look at that?
I always look at that. Has it come out again this year?
Yeah. What they were saying, just if we had started it last year, what we're saying is that, you know, for those who aren't familiar with it, first of all, you really should be because it's like one of the most fun things to think about. Yeah. So what he does is he takes the Power Five conferences are tier one. And then the group of five conferences are like tier two, and they're lined up, you know, more or less geographically by region. So the Mountain West in particular is tied to the Pac-12 above it, and it's tied to the Big Sky below it in tier three. And that's when you start getting into like FCS schools, and then below that, Division II schools.
It goes to NAIA at some places.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So what you're looking at is if he had started this year, Oregon State would join the conference this year.
Woo!
And also, from Tier 3, you would be also gaining Southern Utah from the Big Sky. And you would be losing Hawaii.
And San Diego State.
And San Diego State would move up to the Pac-12. So you're looking at a conference of Air Force, Boise, BYU, because they have BYU listed there for geography's sake, Colorado State, Fresno State, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon State, San Jose State, Southern Utah, UNLV, Utah State, and Wyoming.
Wait, Southern Utah's in the Mountain West?
Southern Utah moves up from the Big Sky.
Okay, I'm just glancing over, so I'm not reading, just kind of sifting through this really quick. Okay.
So who says no to them? That's fun.
And if you go back, let me see if this includes the old stuff. Does this include years ago as well?
They have the entire simulation. They have the entire simulation going back to 2005. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Maybe you'll get there before me. Okay. So tier two, right? Right now, if it began in 2005, it would be California, Colorado State, San Diego State, Washington State, which seems low. But
well, it's going back a decade almost.
That's true. You would have to account for realignment somehow. But anyway, yeah.
Well, there's also a thing I remember reading this years ago when he started it. Like Nevada was terrible for a while. Or was it Nevada? Somebody just dropped terribly, like sunk like a rock. I forget who it was, but somebody sunk like a rock. Dang it, I can't find... Well, I'll find it later, but I'm trying to find the old versions. But relegation? I honestly think this could work in college football, but they'll never do it. Because, if we circle all the way back, like you said, Iowa State plays in the middle of nowhere, but they're in the Big 12 ranking at $25 million a year. So there would be no incentive for them to lose and go down to Tier 3 and be in the... what's below the Mountain West? Big Sky? Or the Big 12?
Yeah, I believe so.
If you're the Big 12, what, CUSA or something, or Southland?
Yeah, something like that.
It's fun to read, but man, I need to read over that again because it's awesome and it's fun.
Yeah, but just run a Google search for Bill Connolly relegation, and you guys will have fun with that.
Yeah, it's on the front page of SB Nation right now. I'll stick it on the front page of our site as well here because we need to pump out for more content since it's slower. But yeah, relegation is great. As for other scenarios in there, was there anything else besides people in Houston or some dumb people saying kick out San Jose State for some reason?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. San Jose State's not going anywhere, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I know they almost dropped their program about a decade ago, but they've improved quite a bit since then.
Yeah.
And Tyler Irvin's looking to tear it up by Texans, so I like that. Maybe Chucky Keaton as well. That'd be pretty
maybe,
cool.
Maybe, yeah. I heard the first report out of that camp was pretty good.
And well, we're not going to dive down that because it's a long ways away. Yeah, we didn't talk about the NFL draft, so check our draft hub. Matt did a ton of work. I did a little bit of work, so check out that, please, to see what's there. The only questions we have tonight, somebody wanted to know anything and everything about Wichita State. Let's kind of recap again really quick. If they come hoops only, they better not come until the next TV deal comes out. If they bring football in, I don't know how good they'll be. And you agree with me with this. It's a crapshoot to rebuild a program with little support, small market, terrible recruiting base. They'll get the Big Ten leftovers, I guess, but it just seems it's a shot in the dark. But if they had football, I wouldn't be against it to join them into the conference.
Neither would I.
Okay, so that's all I know. No real news about them. There's also a question here. I think this is referred to you. What's a crispy paella? What is that? Paella?
Paella.
You know what that
is? I that do how you know spell what that paella? Is. Because I ate it for dinner last night.
That's what somebody's asking Tim. I know what paella is. I just never seen it spelled out. I'm like, paella? So was it good, I guess? They want to know about that?
It was. If anybody's ever in Oakland during the off season, check out Duende because they had a pretty good, crispy bottom paella. It had, clams in it, had some chorizo, and it had some asparagus. And it was, if you're a fan of tapas, you should definitely check it out.
I've never had paella before.
It's good. You should try it.
I should give it a try. One thing we might do now, which we discussed before, the show's pretty much over. We're done. There's no more to talk about this topic. It's been fun, but I think we're going to try to hook up with the guys from Eater.com to do kind of a travel guide for food and stuff for some of these games. So I think that's a project we should start working on maybe. I think it'd be
nice.
People would like that because opposing teams coming to town look for that stuff. I'm sure since we're part of the same with Vox Media, sure they'll lend a hand for some of the cities they cover and write about food. It's a pretty fun website to read if you're into that type of stuff. And then also, the top 50 is back.
Yes.
Coming first week of July, maybe, I'm thinking. Late June.
We will be gearing up for it.
Let me ask you this right now. Who would be your number one player on the spot right now? Tell me.
Right now? Oh, am I going to do that to me? I guess it would have to be Danelle Pumphrey until further notice. If you're putting me if you're putting me under the gun like that.
I agree. I cannot agree anymore with that.
But I reserve the right to do my homework.
Exactly. You got a couple guys really quick. I'll probably go offensively because I don't want to look up stats right now. Brett Rypien.
Yes.
I could maybe see Thomas Brubeck. Maybe. Just because what he does at wide receiver. No? Top 10?
Top 10.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of a few names here. Not the San Diego State quarterback. I'm assuming right now. It's preseason, so we could change later, but right now, not the case.
Yeah, somebody asked if Maxwell Smith would win the Heisman, and since he's out of eligibility, I would say probably not.
David, shut your mouth, because I know that's you tweeting that in. So shut your mouth. I'll say it to my grave. If he had to throw 20 passes a game, Aztecs would be terrible. Would have been very good last year. And that's why they limited him to 13 throws a game sometimes. Other game, nobody from Air Force comes out of mind.
DeMonte KZ. I'll put him in the mix too.
KZ, yeah. He could be for defensive, right? Yeah, he's a defensive player. Defensive player of the year. Rashard Penny, if he gets some wide receiver love, maybe, because he's such a good special teams player.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams may be Nick Stevens, but he might not even start. So that's interesting to put him in there. Nobody from UNLV. Oh, well, Devontae Boyd. Receiver, but probably not number one. We're forgetting Brian Hill. How are we forgetting Brian Hill?
I think he'd be in the conversation.
Yeah. I think there's two choices right now: Rippin or Pumphrey, right?
Yeah, let the debate begin.
Boise, San Diego State. They don't even play this year. Dang it. Come on. Yeah, that's all we got for tonight. We're going to write an article. We got a couple stuff up. Aztecs, Paul Meyerberg spent some time in Southern California. Finally, what I've been saying, and probably you maybe agree, since the season ended, Aztecs should be in consideration for a New Year's Six bowl game.
Well,
are
yeah,
you in agreement
should,
with me?
They should be in consideration, but I think your argument has been all along that they are the team to beat in the New York Six and or in the New Year's Eve Six. And that is where we disagree.
Well, Houston's not going to beat Oklahoma and Louisville, so there's that.
But we'll get into that down the road.
We'll get to that later. But yeah, that's there's a thing I put about for Heisman for Pumphrey because he's kind of some murmurs about that. But I just as Aztec fans who despise me, I know there's plenty. I don't hate your team, and like we said before, because you're not going to go to the Big 12. While that might seem like not a compliment, sorry, that's the truth. But your team this year, schedule, talent. Quarterback could be pretty good with Christian Chapman, I want to say. Is that correct? Yeah, Christian Chapman.
Yes.
Their schedule sets up nicely where it's going to be them, Houston, and Boise State as the teams to beat for the New Year's Six spot right now. Maybe Cincinnati, but those are the teams I would put right there. Aztecs, I've championed them to be in the conversation. When I see them not ranked in these preseason polls, but you see Boise at 16, Boise at 20, it's like, I get it, but prestige counts, unfortunately. You're getting there, but I think they'll be a team that will be there at the end. They'll be double-digit wins, I'm saying right now, for them. So that's our show. Exciting. I gave some good positive to Aztec fans, so well-deserved. I'll say something stupid, so I'm just going to stop and move on because we're going to end the show here. That's our show. We'll be back for in a week, within 2 weeks, we'll be starting our 12-week preview of every team in the conference. So send in questions, mountainwestfootball@gmail.com. Tweet us at MWC Connection. Give us a review on our show. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, SoundCloud. We're now on Google Play finally. They got their butts around to getting podcasts in the works. So
nice.
If you go there. If you have Pocket Cast, my preferred method now, go there and download it. But yeah, check us out, mwcconnection.com, and we're getting everyone ready for football, and hopefully no more. Well, and also, if there's any silliness or realignment, we'll be there for you, right?
Exactly.
So that's our show. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good May.
Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic. I'm gonna rant and rave some before I record. Grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games. Analyzing stats and plays. Laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele's zine. Pulling up numbers and reads. Starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.